Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
For the most part in the Old Testament, we hear about the characters there, and we pick them up at midlife, or maybe we hear a little bit about their early life, but it mostly focuses on their adult years. The story of Moses, however, covers his entire life. It covers his time from birth and then somehow getting adopted by the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt all the way to the very end. But what about that birth? What should we note about how Moses is born and how he is saved from the king's edict to kill every firstborn son? Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Tuesday, June the 13th, we're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll spend some time after that with the Lyman Stone Research Fellow at the Institute for Family Studies. We'll discuss political views and the U.S. marriage rate, which, by the way, is going down anyway, and the political views are only making it worse. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Talk about how the Israelites delivered down into Egypt as only 70 people, the Jacob and his sons. How did they multiply in Egypt?
Well, what happened, of course, they had brought their wives with them, and there were 70 of them, and Joseph already was in Egypt. But it says that the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. And as we will recall, Joseph has set aside a section of Egypt with Pharaoh's permission called Goshen, and it was really good for agriculture, and that's where the Israelites were.
What happened after Joseph and his generation died?
Well, it's hard to believe that within just 200 years, a new king came over Egypt who did not recognize Joseph or realize that he was such a savior for Egypt. Of course, Joseph was a Gentile from his point of view. And, well, there were so many Israelites that were growing, and they were multiplying so quickly that Pharaoh thought that if war broke out with another nation, the Israelites might join the enemies and fight against Egypt. And he did not want that to happen. So he set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. And they built for Pharaoh two cities, Pithom and Ramses. Now, we're not quite sure where they exist today, but the city of Ramses seemed to have been called after the Pharaoh of that time, Ramses II. He was known as Ramses the Great. And one thing we know about the term Ramses, that it meant that he was the son of the sun, and therefore he was very, very powerful, and he put the Egyptians in charge of the people of Israel. They made them work as slaves, made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick. And in all work, it says in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Exodus, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves.
Did it work? Did it keep them from multiplying?
No, it certainly did not. In fact, the harder they worked, well, the more multiplied they became. And so the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives. Now, who are the midwives? They are women whose job was to help deliver babies. Two Hebrew midwives were given a special task. One was named Shiphrah, and the other Puah. And they did not follow Pharaoh's orders to kill the male babies born to the Hebrews. They showed their faith in God by following him, even though it could have cost them their lives. And God blessed them with families of their own. Important point for the Sunday school teacher to tell the Sunday school children that indeed God was taking care of the Israelites and protecting the women who refused to obey Pharaoh's command.
So why did the king's efforts, all these efforts to keep the Israelites from multiplying, why did they all fail?
They all failed. Verse 17 is very interesting. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them and let the male children live. Now that is a critical point that the Sunday school teacher can point out, that every one of Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments includes the idea of fearing God. Fearing God does not mean that we're afraid of God, as it means that we're kind of like afraid of our parents because they can punish us. And so they recognize that God has power to do that. And because of that fear, they want to obey God, which they did. And they told the Pharaoh that the Hebrew women give birth before the midwife can even come to them. And because the midwives feared God, this is verse 21, he gave them families. And then Pharaoh commanded that every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. And the reason he did that, the Israelites were unhappy with their life and might have grown rebellious. And the Egyptians thought by killing the male babies, they could lessen the number of Hebrew men who could grow up and fight them while still keeping their slaves. Nothing, though not even the plan of the Egyptians, could stop God's plan for his people. All it took was one Hebrew mother hiding her baby boy, a boy who survived and was named Moses.
So tell us about how Moses was born.
Well, a man from the house of Levi, and that's, of course, an Israelite, took as his wife a Levite woman, and she bore a son and was a beautiful son, and she kept him hid for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch so it could float in the water. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister was watching from a distance to see what would happen to him. Now, this really shows faith in the mother and the sister, that they were hoping that things would work out, but the daughter was there to watch what would happen.
How did Moses then come into Pharaoh's house?
Well, it just so happened at that time, and this is how God runs things, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to have her bath at the river, and she had her young women who were walking beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent a servant woman, and she took the basket. And when Pharaoh's daughter opened it, she saw the child the baby was crying, and she took pity on the baby and said, well, this is one of the Hebrew children. But then the sister showed up and said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And guess what? The girl went and called the mother of the child, namely Moses' mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child, and when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses became her son. And Pharaoh named him Moses, because the word Moses is close to the Hebrew word for draw out, because Pharaoh said, her daughter, I drew him out of the water. And that's how Moses came to be in Pharaoh's house, became very important there, and entered a life of privilege. And that's how God was working all things out so that Moses would soon become God's prophet to remove the Egyptians from Israel after many plagues. Pharaoh had given in, and they crossed the Red Sea. The army tried to follow them of Pharaoh, and they were drowned. So the hand of God is behind what was happening to Moses. What happened to Moses is very similar to what happened to Joseph. You know, Joseph almost was put to death when Potiphar's wife accused him of sinning, which he did not, of course. But he was put into jail where he interpreted two dreams, and God used that to help him interpret dreams of Pharaoh about a coming famine. And Pharaoh was so impressed that he made Joseph second in command. Moses was very important in the house of Pharaoh and knew how the Egyptians thought. And so God was working out in the life of Joseph and Moses and the Sunday school children. The Sunday school children should learn that God has a plan for their life, and they too were saved by water. And that's where you would bring in baptism, which is very, very important, that God uses the water of baptism in order to bring a child into the Holy Christian Church. I heard something or read something very interesting this past week. It was a individual who had had his son baptized, but in the church, when he was baptized, the pastor had baptized him not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, because they're trying to get away from God being male. And the man asked another pastor, is my son who is baptized in that way, would he be going to hell? And the pastor said, no, he'll be going to heaven, but the pastor may be going to hell, because the pastor did not properly use the words of God in holy baptism, which hopefully have been used by the children. And it's a great opportunity for the Sunday school children to hear about baptism, and those who have not been baptized to speak to the parents about this tremendous gift from God, where they are made a part of the family of God, where their sins are forgiven, heaven is their home, and the plans that God has made for them will come to fruition as they grow older.
Pastor Todd Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. How does this account show how God fulfills his promise to Abraham? When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issue's Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
After the Making the Case conference, join the Concordia Catechetical Academy at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, for our annual symposium on catechesis, Christ and the Law, Catechesis on the Ten Commandments, with Dr. Aaron Moldenauer, Pastor Rick Stuckwish, Pastor Bernell Eckhart, Pastor Carl Fabritius, Pastor Rolf Preuss, and myself, Peter Bender, June 21st through the 23rd. Learn more at peacesussex.org. Peace, SUSSEX.org.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
The decline of Christianity in the West presents us with a great challenge, the greatest challenge in the history of the church. With Jesus and only Jesus, we will go forth nevertheless. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. A little bit from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, by Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Take Courage, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. So Tom, how does this account show the overall plan that God is fulfilling in his promise to Abraham?
Well, when we go back to Abraham, God said that through Abraham would come the Savior, through his son Isaac. And we know that Isaac therefore had Jacob, who had many sons, one of them being Judah. And it was through Judah that David was born, King of Jerusalem after Solomon, and Jesus is of the house of David, as were Mary and Joseph. So that when Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, she bore forth God himself as a human being. That's called the incarnation. And so it's good that the Sunday school teacher would trace from Abraham all the way up to Mary, to show that God was making sure that his promise would be true to Abraham and that a Savior would be born who would bring the children from the death of the world into the life of the kingdom of God, namely the Holy Christian Church.
How does the story of Moses' birth foreshadow baptism?
It foreshadows baptism because God uses water in two ways. The one way is to save, the other way is to destroy. The best example of that, of course, is the flood that destroyed unbelievers. And the other time is, of course, going through the Red Sea, when the Egyptians attempted to follow them through the Red Sea, the waters came back and drowned them, even though the Israelites had gotten through safely. So ordinary water God used to save Moses, he uses that to save baptism, because the ordinary water is connected to the Word, which promises salvation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Simply read Romans chapter 6 to show the wonderful benefits of baptism in being crucified with Christ, in being buried with Christ, and in being raised from the dead, all through holy baptism. And that's why the Sunday school material put out by Enduring Faith from Concordia Publishing House has chosen the Bible verse from 1 Peter 5, verse 7, God cares for you, and he cares for the Sunday school children by their washing in the waters of baptism and by making sure that his plans for his children are fulfilled from the beginning of their birth to their time when they fall asleep in Jesus.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
Well, the law is pretty clear, is that we often want to be about ourselves. We're like Adam and Eve. We hear Satan, who tells us, no, if you do sin, you'll actually become your own God, which is true. But of course, becoming your own God means you no longer have the triune God. And the gospel is that Jesus was born to set me free from the slavery of sin, death, and the devil. And that's the message the Sunday school children should learn, and why it's so important to bring them to church, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and teach them at home Luther's Small Catechism.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
We will be talking about the U.S. marriage rate, it's falling, by the way, and political views and how they're related with Lyman Stone, research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, next.
Register today. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through the 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky. The conference includes visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Online registration is open now with early bird pricing at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. lutheransforlife.org.
We preach Christ crucified. That's the theme of the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that's gathering this summer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Christ crucified is the sum and content, the substance of everything we preach and proclaim. At convention, delegates will gather to worship, hear God's word, and discuss the business of synod. To learn more about the upcoming convention, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. AdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's AdCruesome.com.
Sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu. or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.